You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. We cover down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. All right, we're in the first of three dippers for the day, triple dipper. Number one is choosing choice. And we've been talking the last little bit here about the history of school choice in Alabama. We've talked about it on the show before. But there's been nuances and developments, and we've seen a little bit come out of our Republican supermajority, just a little bit here lately. But we now have the governor saying all of a sudden she's for it, and I'm glad. We now have the Speaker of the House saying he's for it, and he says a bill's being drafted. I'm glad. But I tell you, somebody who's been in the fight, and we were there together when the Accountability Act was passed, but my friend, former State Senator Dick Brubaker, Dick served in the Alabama State Senate representing the Montgomery-Prattville area, District 25. Before that, he was in the House of Representatives. Before that, he was actually an educator himself, been in the trenches, knows what it's like. He's also a successful businessman, and right now he's on the phone. So, Dick Brubaker, how you doing, man?
Hey, good afternoon. It's a beautiful day in Pike Road, Alabama, and what a great day to be on Right Side Radio.
well, thank you for that, man. Hey, and thank you for your many years of service. And you actually chaired the Senate Education Committee, didn't you?
I did for 8 years, and yeah. One good thing about not being in politics anymore is I don't have to read all that stuff.
No doubt.
It was an interesting time, though. I certainly learned a lot.
Well, and you and I were both there. I've said several times that one of the most interesting, dynamic, and actually enjoyable evenings, in my opinion, was the night that we passed the Accountability Act, which, you know, it has its warts and blemishes, but it was the first time that we really got to smack around the teachers' union, and that was enjoyable.
Well, yes, that was enjoyable. And I hope our buddy Greg Reed is listening. It was a study in how people with a much smaller majority than they have right now crushed the opposition when they were in our way on something that was important to us.
Yeah.
And that's something that this group of senators needs to get out those old videos and watch, because apparently they've forgotten how to do it.
Well, you know, here's the thing, too, Dick. When you and I both were in the Senate, and now I think you and I left at the same time, I think like over half the legislature was not there during the teachers' union fights, and about 40% of them are now taking teachers' union money as part of their campaign donations. But I don't think they have the institutional knowledge of what it was like to be in that kind of fight.
Well, I tell you one thing. If they continue, I think the school choice is a great subject to be talking about, because this is the kind of issue that they can't fool their Republican constituents forever.
Yeah.
If you are a conservative and you come back year after year failing to pass something that polls 80% or better among likely Republican voters and 90% or better among likely Republican voters with school-aged children, eventually they're going to throw you out and put somebody in there who will actually do what your constituents want.
Yeah, and totally, and rightfully so.
Absolutely rightfully so.
But let me ask you this, Dick. I mean, just in terms of our time together in Montgomery and the things that we were able to see happen, you know, I do think the fact that we finally broke that glass ceiling of school choice meant that this can be done. If they want to do it, they can. The only reason why it's not happening is because they just haven't chosen to have the will to do it at this point. Would you agree?
They've got that. Only a super majority. Now they've got a super duper majority. I mean, they could pass if they wanted to, and they were willing to filibuster and willing to cloture filibusters and go to the mat and control the mic, especially since they have a good solid Republican lieutenant governor in the chair. They could have four senators not show up, Republican senators not show up, and still force passage if they wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's why it's so inexcusable. Look what Arkansas is doing. Look at Florida. Look all around us. I mean, we're one of the few southern states dragging our feet on this issue. And we've got the worst schools of the bunch.
Well, and so in the mix of that, you know, one of the things that I'm hearing right now, Dick, maybe you've heard the same, is they are drafting a bill that would allow for education savings accounts, but they're talking about giving control to the state school board in the process. And I think that's going to wind up being a poison pill. What do you think?
It is a poison pill. And the state school board is a very unique organization that probably we should get rid of. If you look at who spends money on those campaigns, even though they have elected some Republicans, it is only teachers' organizations and superintendents' organizations and people selling textbooks that donate to those campaigns. And the state school board has opposed, and we had state school board members down in the committee rooms arguing against the Accountability Act.
Yep.
They argued against charter schools. They argued against virtual schools. Everything we did to try to give parents some choices in education, the school board, including some Republican school board members, came down and lobbied against because they wanted to protect the schools they govern, public schools.
Well, and if you look around the nation, the argument is always that we will break the backs or defund public education, and that doesn't happen. They assume that suddenly everybody in the world is going to execute their choice opportunities. The truth be told, it'll still be a minority, but it's the right thing to do because it's the parents who should have the final say.
Oh, and person, you know, it's nice not to – let me put it this way. We don't tax people for billions of dollars a year to protect institutions. We spend more money on education than any other function of state government,
yeah,
by far.
Yeah.
Nothing else is even close. And we do that to educate students, not protect institutions. And, you know, the number of people who have their own kids in private schools who object to making that choice available to people that don't have as much money as they do just always astonishes me. And who cares if some public schools disappear? If more kids are getting a better education, public schools in and of themselves are useless to society if they are failing their students. I mean, period.
Applause. I think you just hit the round of the applause that we got to play. That was worth it. That was an epic moment. Hey, listen, too, Dick, I think there's another point that has to be said. It's sometimes it's always not about the education. It's also about the accommodations, the things that are provided for the student.
And, oh, wow, yep, amen.
And you were a successful businessman. You had opportunities you could apply to your kids, and you have great kids. And I remember Ben coming up there to the state house, and your son Ben has some physical disabilities. Not every parent had the ability to do the things you could do for Ben.
Because a market would be created. Parents would be able to choose to make another choice, even though they don't have a lot of money. And so all of a sudden you'd have organizations that would be organizing schools, whether they're charter schools or just plain old private schools, in communities that right now it's not viable to do it in because there's just not enough people with the ability to send their kids to a non-public school. And that's not a good thing. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Anything that's monopoly priced, like if there's only one school, one public school in the community, that will tell you this about the product. It'll be overpriced, and the quality will be low. I mean, that's the definition of a monopoly good, an expensive, low-quality product.
Yeah, you know, you're right. And listen, man, I'm going to tell you on the air how much I appreciate the fact that you've been in the trenches on this. I know for a fact that you were an advisor, if I'm not mistaken. Fob James actually had you as an advisor to the legislature before you ever ran for office on education issues. And those were reform issues, if I recall.
Yeah, they were. I was his education advisor when we created the foundation plan. The idea was to try to let funding follows students because the old formula wasn't doing a very good job of that. But to be honest with you, things have come so far since then.
Yeah.
School choice is the only education issue that matters right now. All of these fights where parents are having to go and, you know, fill up local school board rooms because of what their kids are being taught. Hey, give them school choice. Give them the ability to make another choice, and they won't be standing on the, you know. I'm just saying that right now, too many public educators have the option not to care about what parents think.
There you go.
If parents can take their kids somewhere else, they lose that option. They'll have to start listening to their customers. And your customers aren't students. Your customers are the people who are paying, which means parents.
Well, State Senator Dick Brubaker, appreciate your long history of the trenches, brother, and thanks for making some time for us today, all right?
I enjoy your program. Good job. Keep at it.
Thank you, brother. We'll see you soon.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, man. I tell you what. You talk about a guy who has got not only a passion for the, you can hear it in his voice. I mean, the man gets in fact, I'm pretty sure I need to find a way to just get one of those segments, boom, and use it later. But yeah, that's former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We're headed to a break right now. When we get back from the break, listen, we'll continue to wrap this up. It's a presidential thing now. It's not just, hey, what are states doing? You got candidates running for president that are making this part of their platform. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.